And this is the Real BS Show coming at you on a beautiful sunny May. I don't know what day it is.
This is 13th.
13th? Oh, yeah. That's scary. Hey, this is nice music. A little kind of easy to listen to.
Right.
I got a letter from the IRS yesterday.
Oh, wow.
It had me a little nervous, you know. But let's listen to this, and when it's over, I'll tell you what they sent me.
All right.
Okay?
Sounds good.
All right, let's listen to this. This is the Real BS Show, and I'm the B, and over there's the S.
And the S, we don't know what that stands for, right?
Stands for Seth, don't let nobody kid you. Hey, well, I'm the Bull, and you're the Seth.
Yeah, I'm full of Seth.
I was telling you about that. I'm getting old, I forget what I was talking about. That music just put me to sleep. I got a letter from the IRS, so I opened that baby up and I almost threw it away, but that's let's see what they got to say. Because I haven't paid taxes in a long time. So
that's because he's retired IRS. Don't start getting ideas.
Yeah. I don't make any income, so what do they want with me?
Right.
So here, I open it up, and it's a letter from Joe Biden, our president. The president sent me a letter covered by the IRS. So
right.
He figured I'd open it for sure that way. But he's telling me how wonderful everything is. I'm reading this thing, and he said, hopefully, he said, you got the $1,400 I sent you as a stimulus, the fair family, whatever, I don't know.
Right.
Some stupid $2 trillion expense thing.
Right.
And it goes on and on about how we can all win this. If things are looking bad, but they're going to get better. I don't know, just on us. It was just a political ad for Joe Biden saving the world, you know?
Right.
I was like, I started laughing after a while, and then finally I threw it in the garbage. But, I should save it for posterity, I don't know.
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
I'm using my kids after he gets thrown in jail. Anyway, so that was my big thing for... But
there's some people that want it to keep on going into perpetuality. They want a continual.
Yeah, just nobody go to work. Just everybody sit home and collect money from the government.
Yeah.
That ought to work out real good.
Yeah.
I think that's what we were trying to do, really.
Yeah.
I went down to Home Depot to get some miscellaneous. I'm looking at this plywood stuff, and I'm thinking, holy catfish, $90 for a half-inch piece of plywood?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a year ago it was, what, I don't know, $30 maybe, $25, $30. Now it's $90.
It's even worse than that. You know, I know quite a few employers that can't find any people to hire.
I hear that a lot.
And it's like, you know, before anybody starts accusing, oh, they just need to raise their wages, they have ways, you know, they started out, you know, two years ago.
How do you beat the government?
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Yeah, that's what I'm getting to. One of the things that I, you know, people need to know is some of these employers are like, they're paying like $40 or $50 an hour and they can't find people to work. Because there's people that in that price range on unemployment, and they're making like 10 or 20% less than $50 or $40 an hour with their unemployment. So they're just staying on unemployment. But here's the thing.
Yeah, you don't have to drive to work then.
Exactly. So
you don't have to pack a lunch or nothing.
And so people are like, well, just raise your rates. I'm like, well, they do have bottom lines. And people are forgetting that you know, they just think companies are, you know, there's some people, I won't name the group of people, but they think that company owners are just bottomless pits of money that they can just spend all the money in the world they have, and it's not true. They have a bottom line, and they have to eke out an existence. And I'm speaking as an employer myself. You know, I have subcontractors. I should call them not employees, but you know, I do pay well.
Subcontractors, IRS, not employees.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I don't tell them when to come to work. They work when they want to.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing is like. Even still, like, you know, there's a lot of people that are off work right now, and that people are raising their wages just to bring in people. So prices are going to go up with that as well, and inflation. You know, we can't factor, you know, we can't ignore that as part of the multi-factor problem here. And it's going to get worse, I think. And
well,
then,
I drove by, let's see, where was it? Down at Cranberry Mall.
Right.
McDonald's down there.
Yeah.
It's a big, great big sign out front, hand painted, you know.
Right.
It says $50. They'll pay you $50 just to come in for an interview.
Yeah.
So if you go in for an interview, they'll pay you $50.
Yeah.
I never, ever, ever saw anything like that. Never, ever.
No. It's because right now there's a lot of people that can just stay on unemployment making that money and not have to worry about working. But here's the catch. In September, we're predicting that the unemployment's going to run up. There's only a certain point that it lasts till. That you can't. It's not a free money. It's a pocket. There's a pocket. There's pocket and that money in that pocket.
Well,
and they look to take so much.
Federal Reserve printing all they want.
They could do all that want, but there's going to come a point with a boiling point where the frogs are going to jump out of that pot. You know, and
it already has.
And
we haven't realized it.
Oh. And I think this is what we're going to be facing in the future here in the next coming months.
I just drove by the gas station from yesterday to today. It went up 10 cents again.
Yeah.
Holy catfish. What, I don't know, all this technology and everything. I think technology is designed to make things easier, cheaper. Deflation. In other words, make prices go down.
Yep.
So the Federal Reserve, their job is to print money, spread it around and make inflation.
Yep. They want to counter it.
Go up.
That's the current monetary policy that is going on. And I disagree with the, you know, but here's the thing. You hear a lot of economists claim that production's increased. So wages should increase because production's increased. But here's the problem. Most of the production increase is not because humans are working harder. It's because of automation and computers and technology has taken away the workload. And so production is so high.
They have to because the prices are going up so high.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
so
it's a battle between inflation and deflation and who's going to win.
You cannot explain away why production is so high and yet wages are so low by saying, well, people are working harder. That's not the truth. The reason is productivity is so high. I'm going to say 95% of the reason why productivity is so high is because completely because of automation and globalization
And on top of it, we are dealing with the most automated period ever in human history. And it's going to get more automated.
Oh, we're just getting started, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're just in the baby infant stages.
I hope I live another 20 years to see all this stuff.
I don't think you'll be driving yourself anymore. I think that's where we're going in the next 20 years.
Sit up there and have the drones deliver my Walmart presents, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, Amazon's going to be shipping it, you know, a drone and dropping it on your porch.
Yeah, right. It's good. I won't have to drive anywhere.
So it's like, you know, when they say they want to increase wages with the scale productivity, they're missing out on why productivity is the reason it is. And I don't think
they'll have to pay the automation more. They'll have to pay the robots a little bit extra.
There is some argument, and I'm not, you know, a big proponent of income tax, but there is some economists talking about taxing the robots and machinery. But here's the problem: what do you consider automation? This is the problem. So I make software.
They're going to tax your computer.
They would tax my software. They would tax machines that do automation, like CNCing or 3D printing. And this is the problem, is what do you could define as automation is a very wide thing. So you can't really easily just tax automation or product that makes the productivity. And because it's hidden a lot of times.
Well, give them a little time. They'll figure it out.
And so it's easy to tax people that work, because you had the person working.
Well, that's totally illegal.
It is.
The Constitution says fair and apportioned taxes. You don't just pick out. They ought to just tax all the white people. You know? Just do it that way.
There's some that want to do that, Bill.
Yeah. Just tax white folks, and then everybody else is tax-free.
You know that.
There you go. That'll fix things.
It reminds me of, you know, on my father's side, the family is part Jewish. And in Europe, there was a tax on Jewish people. And the same thing in the Ottoman Empire. If you weren't Muslim...
Was that Hitler?
That was all over Europe. They taxed Jews. But then also in the Ottoman Empire, they also taxed Christians. If you were a Christian, you had a special tax because you weren't Muslim. And so these are kind of things that are weird that people are bringing up again that I completely think they're completely wrong. I personally think sales taxes are okay.
Well, everybody pays them except for churches and religious folks.
So here's my view. My view is all taxation is theft. Every single tax is theft. But I would say some taxes
are... How about the government just cut spending?
I would think that would be the case. But I would say both parties have that problem. They can't cut spending.
Oh, sure.
And I think that's one of the major issues. But I would say there's certain taxes that are more evil than others. I think property tax and income tax are the two first ones I think that are the most evil. And I use the word evil because property taxes, like, first off, shoehorn property value. And so basically you have boroughs and state municipalities and different cities that put way too much value in a house.
Municipalities?
Yeah, municipalities. Yeah. They have too much value in a house when actually houses should be degrading in value. And honestly, but instead you see junky houses that are increasing value for no reason, only because they're being propped up by the magical value that's not there. Similar to the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar is a magical value. You know, the fiat.
Well, just because you live in Edinburgh, you're going to get a tax. I mean, your property's worth more, period.
Yeah. You know. But if we remove property tax, then it takes away a lot of those fake inflated numbers, and the actual value of the house would go down to what is actually market valuable.
Well, that's a regressive tax, because why should people fix their house up? They're just going to get their taxes raised.
And then people,
that's crazy.
And people that propose raising property taxes and they rent, they're not paying attention. They're part of the process. If the property tax gets raised on the rental property that you rent, you're going to be paying the rent for that.
Yeah.
Your rate's going to go up.
It's just like corporations are going to tax the corporations. Yeah. Well, guess who's going to get going to hold the short end of that one?
Corporations aren't going to sink that cost. They're going to carry the cost over.
It's all the shareholders
and the people buying the products.
Pension funds and people buying the products. But there's a lot of pension funds and a lot of shareholders aren't going to get their dividends. And
sure.
You know, that's the next thing on the ticket. Pension funds are going to go down through the floor.
Yeah, we're seeing that ready. Where I was, you know,
and most of them are government.
Yeah,
government
school teachers.
All this taxpayer-funded pension plans are going bust.
Postal service,
It's on postal service. There's how many billion do they lose every month?
Yeah. Because of pensions, yeah.
See, join FedEx or UPS and the private companies, and they don't have that problem.
No. The pensions are going to be coming and hitting hard.
Oh, sure.
And that's... I think the other one is the income tax. You know, it's like, you know, the income tax is a recent thing. You know, 1913, right?
I mean, yeah. Well, Biden, he's going to tax. He's going after these rich, but him and that the lady from up north there, up northeast. I forget her name. Pocahontas.
Warren. Yeah,
Elizabeth Warren.
And she's not even Native American.
Well, she had filled in that box so she'd get a...
Yeah. She was like only 1% Native American. I know people. You know, it's really sickening that she was able to take advantage of that. And she's not a registered Native American. That's the part that's even more sickening.
Yeah, but it got her a big discount on her
college
education.
But see, that's a lot of people do that crap. And it's like, you know, I think the other thing is, we'll call her the Cherokee Princess. Because usually people that claim to have Cherokee don't actually have Cherokee.
Is that what she claims?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. See, here's the problem.
She's making the Cherokees look bad.
Yeah. Genetically speaking, this is actually a recent thing. I've done DNA tests on myself before. And years ago, I've had people in the family. I won't mention their names. Some have passed on, and some are still living. But there was a rumor on my mother's side of the family that there was part Native American. And there was only a few people saying that, and others were like, no, there's no Native American. Well, here's the deal, Bill. I took a DNA test. None. Zero. No Native American. Okay? And so I kind of feel...
That means you must have come from another country.
Yeah, I came from... I'm not from here. Yeah. So... You know, my father's side of the family are recent immigrants. And then my mother's side are, you know, a mixture of European and whatnot.
Irish.
No Irish.
French.
No, zero Irish. Italian. That's the other one, too, is there's zero Irish, Bill.
German,
English, French, Dutch, Swiss, Danish, Norwegian, Swedish. You know, there's all that. You know, it's just a mixture of everything.
Your ancestors got around.
Yeah, a little bit. But there's no Native American on my mother's side of the family. And I mean, this is what I found out, actually. Too many people think they have Native American ancestry. So 90% of people that claim to be Cherokee descent are probably not.
Well, yeah, but you got to hang on to that case. There's a box you can check on that
But you know what
loan application.
A lot of people want to feel connected to North America. So they feel that they heard a story, well, this person, you know, there was some princess of some tribe. And so they carry on these stupid stories that are not true. They're myths. But anywho, going back to what we're saying is, you know, property taxes and income taxes.
You get a free night at the casino.
Maybe. Cha-ching. Oh, shit. There's a tax on that, too.
Yeah, jeez.
One time we should just do a show where we read all the taxes. I think that'd take
List all the taxes? Yeah, kidding? Yeah. We don't have enough time for that.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Because when you actually walk out of it, you know, it's about 33% income tax. Then you have property tax. Then you have sales tax. Then you have inheritance tax. Then you have usage tax. You keep on, list keeps on going on.
Listen to this now. They're proposing, and I think they're about to do it, Biden's administration is going to... Capital gains are going to double. They're going to go to 43%.
Okay, yep, that's the highest one in the world. Yeah.
All right. So then real estate, he's in the process of destroying the real estate market because if you sell a house and you make some capital gains, let's say, on it,
right,
you take that money and you buy a bigger house or a better house, then that money isn't taxed because it's going into a bigger... Well, they're changing that, so it's going to be taxed immediately.
Right.
So then they're also changing. They're going to do this 40% estate tax.
Yep.
Death tax, mainly.
Yep.
So if you own a $1 million house, you die, you leave it to your kids, they got to pay the capital gains on that house right then and there. Then they got to pay another 40% death tax.
Yep.
So there's 80% of that property that was left to them has to be paid then and there.
Yep.
What do you think is going to happen to that house?
It's going to go to waste.
They're going to sell it.
Yeah.
They have to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's It's beyond belief. It's beyond belief. And the real estate market, you know, it's going to take a little while, but it's going to adjust to that. And there's going to be so much real estate for sale that you ain't going to be able to buy it all fast enough. Even though it's the other way around right now, because everybody's running from the cities. And
sure. Rate flight is a thing.
Rates are down. The lending rates are down. Yeah. So, I mean, it's easier. You can afford more for less now.
Right.
And the Federal Reserve can't really move that lending rate up because we owe so much money that if they go up, I think it's 1.5% or 2% up, then that means there's not enough tax money. There's not enough income. The federal government doesn't have enough money coming in to pay the interest.
No.
On the debt.
Nope.
So they're out of bullets. I mean, they can't stop inflation with higher rates, but yet they keep printing money, which causes the inflation, and it's just a big circle that is just going to spiral into.
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain point where, you know, here's the deal. This is actually what I heard some people saying, is with all that you just said, there's going to be people sitting 4 years on that property, or 3 years, we'll say, until a more favorable terms come about.
Yeah, somebody else gets elected president. Well, what 2022. You know what I would do? This is my solution. I would just keep the property, unless it was, you know, if it's inherited, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
But if you have a property and you don't want to pay all this, give it all to the government, what you do is you take out a big fat loan.
Yep.
They don't tax loans. So you take that. You want the money? Just big old loan. There you go.
Right. But here's what I'm, you know, you have two factors in this. 2022 is going to come around. And so they're taking too much bite out of what
they
want.
Here's what you do. You take out that big fat loan. Don't make any payments. Let the bank have it. Let them pay the capital gains.
Right, right, right. But see, here you're looking at 2022. It's going to flip to the Republicans. This is my prediction.
Oh, no, not if China's got anything to do about it.
Well, I'm going to tell you why.
We still have Dominion software. Boom. But flip the switches and away you go. More Democrats.
So they're biting too much of the bit of the bullet here. And so it's gonna sink them in, and then they're going to pay for it. So usually that's what happens.
Yeah, they're going to change the rules, and then the other guys get in, and they make use of those rules to help themselves.
Sure, probably. That's all of them are doing it, probably.
Oh,
I think they're tied one and one a little bit on that.
Well, my biggest, let's listen to a little mindless music, and then we'll come back, and I'll tell you about my biggest worries about what's, and you know, it always revolves around food.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care.
Oh, definitely.
You know, people don't eat a lot of corn, but guess what? If the price of corn goes up, we're really in hot water.
Oh, sure.
Corn runs everything.
Yeah.
And not only our cars now, but it feeds every animal on the planet.
Sure.
Every McDonald's burger you get is full of corn.
Oh, yeah.
That animal was full. We eat dead cows like it's going out of style. All right, little mindless music, and we'll be back in a jiffy. it's a real BS show. We're coming back. Where were we? I wanted to talk about inflation, deflation, and I think it's already here.
In the food.
Well, food, too. I mean, it's everywhere, but I mean, food is the cruncher. That's the one that's going to eat us up alive.
Sure.
I mean, and one of the things that I over the years I've seen and realized that corn is pretty much what runs everything in this country.
Yep, yep. That and soy.
It really does. Soy too. I mean, but it's the animal food. And cattle and pigs and chickens, they all eat corn and soy. And that's what we grow the most of. And did I tell you I feed the deer?
Yeah, you do, yeah.
Yeah, well, guess what? I cut their portions in half. I went to the food store, the corn store, let's say. I don't want to say who it is, but they're the cheapest ones that I know of.
Right.
And it's gone up by 50%.
I believe it.
In just the last, two months.
Yeah.
Last 2 months. 50%. I mean, it's, and it's, you know, they're saying it's going to go more. It's going to get worse.
I believe it.
Well, let me tell you, the corn is what drives everything. I mean, it's fed to animals. Turkeys, chickens, you name it. I mean, plus they make gasoline out of ethanol. It's made out of corn.
Oh, yeah.
Fructose, corn syrup.
I've heard just corn syrup is in every processed thing. Yeah,
it's in everything.
Yeah.
And now it's crashing down. I mean, it's going to crash down on all of us because...
It's going to trickle, yeah.
And I ran into a nice, not nice, but... informative audio thing.
Mm-hmm.
Take epic something or other, epic economist or whatever. And I thought, you know what, we ought to just play that for everybody and listen, because they explain it much better than me, because I graduated sixth grade, so I'm not really up on all this fancy. I do play the stock market, though.
Oh, sure.
Robin Hood for like 3 or 4 years now.
Right.
I started off slow, just playing around, you know. I've kind of bumped it up a little bit. And what I figured the price of gold and silver seems to be sneaking up over the years, because I used to buy it at $5 an ounce, and now it's like $30 an ounce.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy.
So I said, well, you know, I was watching that, and I'd say, well, the miners are always just a step ahead of the price of silver and gold.
Right.
And now I'm looking at this, and now the miners, it's expanded to silver, gold, uranium, and copper. Copper, a big-time copper, because everybody's going to get electrified.
Sure.
And there's copper mines, they're just running out of them.
Right.
And it takes like 10 years to get one started.
Yeah, yeah.
With all the paperwork. So I've been doing them, too. And sure enough, they're slowly, I took $600 stimulus check that I got back in December, I think, or whatever. It's up to $2,700 now.
Jeez.
By jumping in, I buy the dips and sell on the peaks, you know.
Yeah, yeah. What's that say? The thing we were just talking about it earlier, you know.
I forgot.
Something about the news, you know.
Rumors.
Buy on the rumors, sell on the news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's I don't know, it's getting crazy. But anyways, let's play this inflation deflation kind of thing, and
talking about food too, right? Yeah.
Oh, definitely about food, big time about food, because they're telling you about the CPI just came out, okay, yesterday, I think.
Yep.
And I was looking down the list, which most of that stuff's not even in the CPI, but even the CPI was 0.8. In 1 month, so year to year,
that's half
last April to this April, it's gone up 4.8%.
Yeah,
but
normally it's like 2%.
If you go by just April's numbers, if you were to say, okay, the rest of the year is going to be like that, we're talking 10-12%.
Easy.
And that's not counting all the other stuff
that's all
not counted.
Yeah.
You know, used cars are going through the roof.
Yep. Some used cars are only like $6,000 or $5,000 or even $2,000 off new cars. So why buy a used car when a new car is
a lot of folks can't get new cars.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so there's supply chain crap going on everywhere.
Yeah, used cars right now are really
it's everything.
Bad.
I mean, it's unbelievable. But anyways, let's listen to this epic economist talk about what's going on.
Yeah.
This is really fresh.
In 5 short months, the current administration has managed to take our economy back to the Jimmy Carter 70s, an era of widespread shortages and soaring prices. Even the mainstream media seems shocked with how fast prices are going up, and with each passing day, more overwhelming news is arising since emergencies and disasters are becoming common events. We're in the middle of a major national crisis without even being aware of it. But after so much time facing catastrophe after catastrophe, Americans have sadly become used to a certain level of financial pain, and our leaders and the elites know they can continue pushing along the cost of the crisis they created themselves upon all of us. The U.S. government has plans to continue to borrow and spend trillions of dollars on top of all the outrageous spending that has already happened, while the Federal Reserve will keep printing monumental piles of money and pump the fresh cash into the financial system. Our leaders have been expressly contributing to our economic deterioration and the degradation of our living standards. And if most parts of our society truly understood what's going on, they would be out in the streets shouting for their rights at this very instant. For the time being, people have been quietly watching the collapse of our nation without knowing what to do. But one thing that will surely distress and alarm millions of U.S. families is the continual rise of food bills. If anything, food inflation will show our population the severity of the crisis we're facing. Commodity prices have been hitting sky highs since demand has been boosted by stimulus money. But due to a series of disruptions, supplies have been dwindling. That, in turn, is forcing the price of everything up. A crucial example of it can be seen in the price of corn. In global transactions, corn prices have skyrocketed almost 150% over the past 12 months. And at the grocery store, the price of corn has already risen 50% in 2021. A bushel costs more than twice what it did a year ago. America's biggest cash crop has never been so expensive. Amongst raw materials, corn has recorded the sharpest rise, and companies aren't shy about passing along those increases to the end consumer, which has been fueling concerns that inflation could jeopardize the post-outbreak economic recovery. And if you're thinking that because you don't usually eat corn, you won't be affected, do not be mistaken. With corn climbing towards a record level, U.S. consumers will have to pay more for all sorts of items because corn is a base ingredient in making many products, including syrups, flour, pre-prepared meals, starch, oil, even tortilla chips, chicken wings, bourbon, and Coca-Cola. Corn is also the main component of ethanol. About 40% of the U.S. crop is blended into motor fuel. So you won't only see higher prices at the grocery store, but also at the gasoline pump. On the other hand, rising corn prices are also elevating the costs of fertilizers and farm equipment, which has been helping food companies to justify the consistent price increases to consumers. Rising material costs usually foreshadow fatter profit margins, said Jonathan Golub, the chief U.S. equity strategist at Credit Suisse Group. Higher input costs, in addition to a heated demand, allow companies to pass along added expenses through higher prices of their own. Also, fixed expenses like factory equipment can be spread over greater sales, Golub explained. While Americans unconsciously absorb these costs, their food budgets shrink. In a country with 29 million people facing hunger and 60 million facing some level of food insecurity, higher food prices mean that millions of families will no longer have enough money to buy the food they need. According to an IPR's analysis, food insecurity in the U.S. is currently at the highest level since annual records began in the mid-1990s, including after the Great Recession. While consumer food prices significantly increased over the past year, some of the world's biggest food companies saw profits hit record highs. An ominous sign of the times we're living in lies in the fact that during the week before last Christmas, roughly 81 million Americans experienced food insecurity. That is to say, one in four people in the so-called wealthiest countries in the world did not have access to enough nutritious food needed for a healthy, active life. Unfortunately, from then on, things have only gotten worse, and the current outlook doesn't look very pretty either. Of course, it isn't just food prices that are hitting absurd levels. As the Wall Street Journal noted in a recent article, we're witnessing wild inflation in many sectors of the U.S. economy right now. Lumber prices have shot to more than four times what is typical, pushing up home prices and obliterating renovation budgets. Copper, a cog of industry found throughout the home and in electronics, hit record prices on Friday. Crude oil hasn't cost so much since 2018, and soybeans are trading at their loftiest level since 2012, the article reports. Credit Suisse Mr. Gulab, who tracked operating margins among companies included in the S&P 500 stock index, has found rises in the price of essential materials such as zinc, rubber, steel, scrap, and burlap, which will have a considerable impact across multiple industries in the coming months. And it also means that we haven't even reached the worst part of the crisis yet. Whether it's rising shipping costs, supply chain issues, commodity price increases, shortages of drivers and seasonal workers, increased labor and safety costs, inflationary pressures have only been growing. At this point, we could be at a generational turning point for our economy, our markets, and our personal finances. Instead, our politicians have chosen to support inflation. We have gone through more than four decades of policies that have prioritized the fight against soaring prices. But after the health crisis struck in America and our leaders felt the taste of the power trillions of printed dollars can give, they're not turning back. Investor and consumer-friendly solutions are now out of fashion, and our society has become increasingly vulnerable to supply chain disruptions, market fluctuations, and shortages, while our purchasing power has been on a freefall. Inflation is continuously making headlines, essentially because from global traders to economists to consumers, everyone is worried. However, that worry oftentimes leads to fear. And as a result, we've seen several rounds of panic buying as people have rushed out to their local stores to stock up on goods in face of imminent emergencies. Although most of those people are reacting out of fear and desperately trying to ensure some essentials for their families, the truth is that panic buying, hoarding, and unplanned stockpiling in times of supply crises end up making the effects of inflation a whole lot worse. So, while trying to escape from inflation, panic buyers actually contribute to intensifying our ongoing shortages and create shortages of other products. And when demand rises and inventory plunges, prices will only go up. That is just basic economics. Given that a new round of panic buying is already happening and is being fueled by the closure of the nation's largest fuel distributor after professional hackers launched a complex cyber attack in the company system that forced the entire shutdown of the 5,500-mile-long pipeline, undoubtedly, there will be more shortages in the months ahead. These are extremely troubling times, but most Americans still don't realize the scope of the problems we're facing. Many still believe that today's monetary policies and the government's stimulus packages have actually been helpful, but the truth is they came out at a great cost. What most people don't understand is that by creating trillions of dollars out of thin air, politicians and policymakers are completely destroying the value of our currency And once the U.S. dollar collapses and loses its status as the world's reserve currency, our nation will irreversibly crumble. One telling example of how debased the value of our dollars is right now is that the total value of all cryptocurrencies is now greater than the value of all U.S. currency currently in circulation. In a different Wall Street Journal piece, experts have revealed that cryptocurrencies hit a valuation of $2 trillion in April, which is about the same valuation as all U.S. dollars in circulation. However, it has since hit as high as $2.25 trillion, and in the process has actually exceeded dollars in circulation, they said. That is utterly irrational. But this is what happens when we decide to artificially create wealth and inject it into an economy and a financial system. We're now at the early stages of an inflationary collapse, and warnings are everywhere. The following comes from the wise Dr. Don Boyes. I am yelling fire because fire is raging. Mixing metaphors, the storm is not coming. It's already here. America's financial house of cards will fall, taking other nations with her. The former member of the House of Representatives and author of more than 15 books recently published an article urging our leaders to tell the truth to our population. He says they must inform people of imminent danger because families will be disrupted, businesses will fail. The economy has faltered, is failing, and will fall. I see no way out of the coming collapse. Sometimes politicians make such a mess of things that there's no way to correct or solve the mess. It's almost like being in a small boat on a raging sea, unsure how far you are from the coast you left and the distance to where you hope to dock. You keep going, hoping to stay afloat. However, our boat is overwhelmed with accelerating debt, he wrote, revealing that the outstanding national debt of the United States is at $28 trillion. Therefore, every man, woman, and child in the United States owes $84,000 for their share of the U.S. public debt, plus $3,800 state debt and a local debt of $6,300. That is overwhelming, outrageous, and obscene, he exclaimed. When the dollar has totally collapsed, you will understand why informed people have always purchased gold and silver for survival during turbulent times. After the currency fails, anything of value will be held rather than unwanted, unusable, and unsupported dollars, Dr. Don Boyes stressed. Our nation is now actively marching towards a catastrophic economic disaster, and every day it goes by, we only pick up speed. And everything that experts such as Michael Burry, Ray Dalio, Harry Dent, Dr. Boyes have been warning about is already starting to occur. But what we're seeing is just the beginning. Another storm is coming for us, and it will take down the U.S. economy. And it's going to absolutely shock the entire globe.
Oh, on that happy note, let's get back to the real BS show. And what would you think?
You know,
think the guy's up in his 90 or?
You know, not just the ones that he mentioned are talking about this, but quite a few people are talking about the inflation. And I'm constantly hearing people trying to minimize anybody having concerns about inflation becoming an issue or anything tied to inflation or the stability being questioned. They don't want to question the narrative. And so I always get really skeptical when people start pushing against concern about that.
Well, I think, and it's just my opinion, but I think the stock market's in for a real big correction here.
Yep.
Coming up not too far in the distance. I mean, Robinhood's going to keep it going a little bit longer than it should probably. But hey, it is what it is, you know. And I guess, you know, everybody says, well, we survived these things before. We'll do it
again. We did, yeah.
Normalcy bias is what it's called, you know.
Yeah.
Can't happen here. Yeah. Well, guess what? I think it's going to, it's fast approaching, and it just, nothing makes any sense.
I think it's okay to be skeptical. And I think the best approach is being optimistic skeptic.
Well, you know what I've been doing?
What's that?
I've been, every time I go to Walmart, I get a 12-pack of toilet paper. I think I got enough toilet paper stored up in the shed to last me for 5 or 6 years.
You know, this is what we need to do, is we need to get a crowdfund to buy a Bill a bidet, then he doesn't have to worry about toilet paper. But I think...
That, easy wipes.
Yeah, easy wipes, baby wipes out there.
So, oh, that made me cough.
So I think one
but
of the...
But I have, you know, toothpaste, soap.
Sure, you can have supplies.
Shampoo, I got lots of shampoo. I ain't never going to run out of that.
So the thing is that I look at is, you know, is when people are gaslighting you over things that have happened in history. So they're not just wild things. We've had great depressions. We've had economic crises before. It can happen again. I look at examples of Germany... Right after World War I, I look at examples of different countries in Africa where their economies just collapsed. I look at Venezuela, that's happening right now.
Yeah.
You know, I see places in South America that had their economy collapse. We have to realize we're not invincible. Because we're playing with fire. And this is the thing, that when they start playing around with the dollar and then devaluing it, and then, you know, the dollar is losing value.
Well, you know, when they talk about inflation... Who do you think that hurts?
It hurts the common person.
It hurts the little guys. The rich people are just getting richer, and the poor people are just getting poorer.
Yeah, in my opinion, people point at inequality. Now, inequality exists. It's relative poverty. It's not absolute. We don't have absolute poverty in the United States. We have relative poverty. And inflation affects relative poverty the most. It's the most common factor. And when you have an increased inflation, it's causing the wealth inequality to increase. And then, therefore, this is something that studies have been done many times. The more relative poverty there is of a widening gap there, the more crime happens. And we're starting to see an insurgence,
a resurgence of
crime that we didn't have before.
Well, the Democrats—I don't know if it's the Democrats. I don't know. Let's say Congress. They're talking about, well, we got to tax the rich. We got to tax folks. It doesn't work like that. You try to tax corporations, and guess who's going to get the short end of this thing?
Well, this is
the
reality.
All the pension funds and all the shareholders that own stock in these companies. They're not going to get any dividends, and the pension funds are going to go bust. They're going to go upside down.
If you took all the money from all the richest people, anyone that's making over, let's say, $500,000 in a year, and I'm including income, capital gains, all that. If you took anyone that's making over $500,000 a year, it would fund the government for 11 months and 15 days in 1 year, and that's it. Then guess what? Those people that had all that money, billionaires and millionaires and thousandaires, if you had all that money, they're not able to take that money and make more money with it. So basically, you just wiped out their purchasing power, and now you're scratched. Everybody's poor, basically, in the government's eyes. The reality is, most of the people paying for the government to function is the middle class. That's the reality.
Yeah.
And so they're this income tax.
Well, the upper class, they got better lawyers than.
Yeah, they have better loopholes.
Better attorneys and accountants and whatnot. Where all the loopholes are.
Trust me,
there's a lot of loopholes.
Yes, exactly. And that's how people are so pissed off about it. You know, like, oh, there's all these loopholes. Well, who put them there?
Yeah.
It's Congress, exactly. And it's both Democrats and Republicans. But I do have to point out something here. You know, we look at the wealth inequality. Where is it mostly in this country? Do you have an idea where it is?
I have no idea.
In the rural areas, there's not much wealth inequality. If you look at the poor and rich in the rural areas, it's pretty basic ratio. It's not a wide, it's a narrow ratio in the rural areas. The wealth inequality is in cities. And who runs the cities? The Democrats.
Governments.
The Democrats.
The Democrats, yeah.
So I'm not trying to point at the Democrats only, but I'm making a point here that most of the wealth inequality is ran by Democrats, and those people that are rich are voting for Democrats.
You know, I keep hearing this thing about Jim Crow.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I checked into that. It's all Democrats.
Yeah,
they're the ones that invented Jim Crow laws.
Well, you'll hear people talking that about Jim Crow, that the Southern strategy flipped the Democrats in the South to Republican, but that isn't necessarily true, because many Democrats that were proponents of Jim Crow lasted even past the Southern strategy by decades. You're talking, what's that one guy that was a KKK member? He was a Democrat even all the way to the 2000s before he died. The Jim Crow era.
Robert Byrd.
Yeah, yeah. The Jim Crow era, you know, those people that were alive in that, only they died in the 90s and the 2000s. So, you know, the Republicans were a push against that in the South. Many of them were supporters of integration. You know, who was the one that forced federal troops to go in and prevent the schools? That was Eisenhower. You know, we have to remember that Eisenhower is the one that, you know, really integrated the schools and, you know, forced I think it was the state of versus Brown.
Well, Kennedy
Brown.
Tried to help out too after that, but they both got killed.
Sure.
So I don't know who's running the bus here, but
yeah. But, you know, again, wealth inequality is something that's very important. And I think, you know, it's not saying the Democrats necessarily have the solution to it. I think the solution is not raising inflation. That's for sure. And that's happening with the stimulus packages that they're making printing money for.
Yeah.
Because that's not
bankers or
that's not increasing. People aren't paying taxes, increased taxes on that. That's just magic money that's printed out of nowhere. And that's the concern. And when you have trillions of dollars being added to the national debt, that's a thing, you know?
Well, you know, I think it was, I forgot what I was going to say. That's a regular thing on the BS show. it totally slipped my mind.
We're at $28 trillion.
$281,969,000. Holy smokes, that's too many numbers there.
$28 trillion.
$281,970,000,000.
Right.
600,000. What's going up that fast?
Yeah, look at the interest on debt right now is, you're talking $398 billion. And our national...
That's per minute?
No, that's per year. This is cumulative. Yeah, this is increasing per minute, per second, actually. And then the federal tax revenue is $3 trillion and $3.5 trillion. So we're kind of like, kind of screwed.
Well, pretty soon the interest on the debt's going to be more than they take in taxes.
Yeah.
We're going to have to borrow money to pay the interest.
Yeah. But if you see here, if you go back in time.
It's like one credit card paying another one.
You go back in time, 1980s, the federal debt to GDP ratio was 34%. So we had 34% debt compared to the GDP ratio or GDP. And then now it's 127%. And we shouldn't bat an eye about this. You know, it's
GDP. I don't even, that's just money spent.
Sure.
And so you want the GDP to go up just to hand out more money. That's
but,
all.
But even so,
not making anything, but we're spending it.
But even so, if you look at it, you know, the gross domestic product right here, this is money spent. Yes. But it's $22 trillion. So we're in more debt than we have current available. So this is why, one of the reasons why, you know, we're $6 trillion more in debt than we have even possible to spend in this country.
They're going to do $10 trillion by the end of summer.
Yeah, so that'd be $38 trillion.
Unreal.
$38 trillion.
Something's going to give. Something's going to let go. Something's going to happen. I think the stock market's going to take a real shock or two. I just can't see any way around it. I mean, Tesla, you know, everybody talks about Tesla, and the stock went up pretty good. They haven't made any money.
Yeah.
Netflix hasn't made any money. They made a little bit yet last year. They had some cash last year, but that's because they didn't make any movies.
Can I point you to another one?
Everybody got shut down. They couldn't make any movies. They said they didn't spend as much.
Right. So here's one that I'm going to point to that I've been concerned about for the longest time, and a lot of older people might be upset about this. But if we look at Social Security and Medicare liability. If you take per citizen, that means babies, adults, don't matter how much money you put into the government.
It's like $90,000 per person.
No, it's even more than that, Bill. $443,000. $444,000 per person. And they want to increase Medicare liability to cover all, universal health care for all. But right now, we already have a Social Security and Medicare liability that's unfunded. There's a lot of unfunded money on this. And the liability per citizen is $444,000 per person. Don't matter if they're infant.
That's $150 trillion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, right here is $150 trillion sitting there we don't have. And
but it's owed,
here we are.
They should have hired Bernie Madoff to be the Treasury Secretary.
He'd make that money.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. He died, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, shoot.
He probably has some descendants.
He could have got us out of this.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, he'd come up with a better Ponzi scheme than Social Security.
people think I'm a nutcase, and I'm sitting there looking at these numbers. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, we could afford all this. And people are like, we'll just eat the rich. And like that, well, you can't eat the rich. The moment you eat the rich, it only pays for the government for 11 months and 15 days. Yeah. We got a problem. What are you going to do next year?
Well, there goes all the jobs. There goes everything. They're already heading for other countries,
sure.
Australia. And even though Australia's taxes are pretty high.
Australia's taxes are very high, yeah.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of countries.
Conditions are really nice.
There's a lot of countries that are very open.
China's moving into Australia.
Although China's moving into Africa. And here's a problem. China has a major, many, many, many problems. China, first off, is giving loans to African countries. And guess what? These African countries cannot afford these loans. So what happens when they default these loans? They end up giving up parts of their country, like infrastructure, ports.
Yeah, ports and
railroads.
And
you look at so many places in Africa where they have ports that the Chinese gave loans for. The Chinese will end up with these ports for free, essentially. Let's be honest, because they can inflate their money for no reason. And
they're doing it, too.
And here's the other problem with China. It's a major problem going to come up. China has, throughout the years, millennia, fought many civil wars. And whenever a totalitarian government pushes too far, it causes the population to get pissed off and rise up. And they've had ones back in, I think it was like 300 AD, where 30 million died in the war. That was in the 1850s. 1850s, 30 million died in a civil war there. And, we had a civil war going on in our country at the time, and we had like what? I think about 600,000 die, okay?
No, it was less than that. It was 350,000,
yeah.
I think.
So we look back at that and say this 30 million people died in China. Now, here's the problem. China is very totalitarian right now. They're putting people into camps. They're using concentration camps, and I'll use that word. The Uyghur people there are being, persecuted and sterilized, forced sterilization.
They harvest their organs, too.
They harvest their organs.
They're making a good buck.
They're using
that.
Them as slave labor.
Jeez.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the problem. China right now has a very imbalanced amount of male to females ratio. So they have more males than females. Huh. In their country. There's more men than women there, by far.
Well, they need them for the army.
Well, here's the problem. They're bound for a civil war. Whenever this happened in the past, they keep very good records there. They invented paper, by the way. I don't know if you knew that.
Toilet paper.
Yeah.
They invented that, too.
They actually invented paper that you could write on. Not papyrus, paper. And guess what? Records show in history, whenever there was an imbalance like this,
there was massive civil wars. Men start getting angry and can't find a woman, so they end up fighting each other for women. You know, this is a very common theme in history.
It's like the guys are always fighting with each other.
Yeah, a little bit of higher testosterone does that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you look at...
So just get rid of all the men, we'd have a nice peaceful earth.
No, that actually happened at one time. You know, 5,000 to 7,000 years ago, you had what's called the Y chromosome bottleneck. And it ended up being 17 women to one man. And what that means at one point of our history, 5,000 to 7,000 years ago, a bunch of men died.
Huh.
And that means that men end up with a lot of women.
Wow.
And they killed them off. That's why there's not that much Y chromosome diversity in our modern lineage.
Well, now you're getting out of my pay grade.
I know. So it did happen. Anywho, going back to China, they're going to face a crunch too. Their economy can't keep this up forever. If we start falling, they will fall. And I think they're a paper tiger, in my opinion. Right. They don't have much strength as our Navy goes there and it is back away instantly. So they don't have the strength that they try to put a face on.
No, they can take us down some other way.
I think their economics is weak too. Their production, if people just stop buying from them, their whole economy just collapse. You know, the reason Nixon was the one that opened them up, before that they were completely poor. There was huge gaps.
Well, Clinton got them into the WTO.
And right.
That just opened the floodgates right there.
Right.
So
I got to close that national debt thing. That's just
depressing.
Yeah.
Speaking of depressing, why don't we end today with some more mindless music?
Yeah.
That's a good way to shut down. Just remember, the wind blows... Well, the wind comes and goes, just like life, you know?
Yeah.
It's same as life. It comes and goes. And
yeah.
Politics, everything just comes and goes. We're just hoping it doesn't stop.
Right.
that's my...
I think, for me, it's like we have to think of our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, what we're leaving them. And that's my concern.
Yeah, that's going to be tough, you know? I'm going to stick around and stay out of harm's way and see if I just sit back and watch and see how the lunacy go on. And it's getting crazier and crazier. So anywho, let's thank you for listening and
have
we'll
a good day.
See you next week and hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been kind of busy. We have hopefully, a project we're working on. I'm sure we'll put it together soon as a show. We've been working on.
Yeah, right. Well, as long as we don't run out of gasoline, I guess we'll be all right.
Yeah. Well, there's some people right now, you know, that's another thing. People putting gasoline in plastic bags right now because of a quote-unquote scare shortage. It's not real of gasoline. Yeah. You don't believe it. There is no shortage of
another
gas.
False flag for us all to fight over.
Yeah.
All right. Take it away, Seth.